Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, everybody. This is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today, we're speaking with Ben Stark. Ben is an overly modest guy, so he's probably going to deny this, but I think he's one of the smartest guys in our industry. I interviewed him before for this podcast, and we talked about his technician retention plan. And at that time, I noted that Ben had built and sold two HVAC companies. Well, he did it again, and now he's built and sold three HVAC companies. So we're going to talk to him about that. I personally have made it a practice to pay a lot of attention anytime Ben Stark tells me something about the industry. He is an astute observer of the industry. He has great ideas. He's an innovator, and he's built great companies. He's a very impressive guy, and on a personal basis, he's kind, he's thoughtful, he's helpful, he's just a super nice guy. So Ben Stark, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you, David. Enjoy being here.
You've now built and sold three HVAC companies. That's an amazing record. I'd like to learn from that experience, and I know our listeners would like to learn from it as well. So if you could you set the stage for us just a bit and give us the rough start and sold dates for your businesses?
Yeah, I started my first company in late 85, early 86, and I grew that company, kind of had a big challenge in the first 4 years, and the name of that company started off at Stark Heating and Air, and it kind of evolved to Air Experts by 1990, and we grew that till 1997. That was the sell point of when we sold that company. Very successful, young company, good, strong, ambitious employees with it. I thought very successful at the time. And that's kind of the history of that. A lot of learning, a lot of figuring out my way and how to build a company in that first time frame, in that till 97.
And then was Stark Air the second company?
Yes. After I sold Air Experts, I sold it to Consolidator, and I went to work for them for about 3 years, and that taught me a lot about how to work outside of being a business owner and how to learn to be a good manager. So the next company was Stark Air. That one I started kind of with a little bit different concept, as I kind of planned the end before I even started the business. So I took a little time off, planned the whole structure and the life of the company. And we sold Stark Air in 2012 to a private equity group that owned the loan, but an individual kind of ran the company for it. And that was a pretty nice adventure, by far the fastest growth overachieved in a lot of areas, just because of, I think, the planning aspect of it prior to starting the company. And we sold that in 2012. And actually the third company, you know, I had a 5-year non-compete, so I just took time off and did a lot of consulting work with Service Nation Alliance and a lot of other people on an individual basis, until I got free of that in 2013, when we started Sunny Service, which is current company. I'm still actually working for it, although I don't own it. And Sunny was very unique. Again, we planned it before we started it, grew it for the 3 to 4 years, and very opportunistically was able to sell it, probably due to the infrastructure we built in the business that really allowed the business to grow even after we've sold it. Still working for the people. And that kind of brings me current with where we are right now.
What a fantastic history. I mean, you're such a wealth of knowledge about all this. I think that there's a lot of confusion in our industry, and I think a lot of business owners, if they're thinking about selling their business eventually, and I think a lot of people don't really start thinking about that till it's too late. But for those that are thinking about it, I think they're confused about what they need to do and what they need to know. So could you help us out on that just a little bit? Like, what does a business owner of a residential service business need to know before selling his or her business?
I think number one is read a lot of books. I think one of the best books I ever read was The E-Myth. It really kind of taught me how to think outside the box. I know that as young businesses, owners wear a lot of hats in the business, but I think they've always got to take time to make sure that they're focusing on that key position in the business, which is the visionary. And the visionary's got, you know, about three or four very critical roles in growing that business. One is keeping a pulse on the marketing of the business. It's got to look at the business from 10,000 feet, which is planning the business and making sure it's structurally sound. It's acquiring good middle management people that can carry out the vision that you've set for that company. And once you do those things, the fourth big part of what you do is systems and processes and developing systems and processes. I think as the visionary role in the company, when you're wearing just that singular hat, you've got to be focused on growing this infrastructure of good, strong managers that can carry out if you're not there, whether you're on vacation, what if something was to happen to you and the company just, it couldn't just drift. You'd have to have a good plan. So along with that vision, we do very strategic annual planning. We develop relationships, strong relationships with vendors so that we rely on them. It's not just what we can get out of our vendors. It's also how can we help our vendors. And it's kind of like a two-way street. You know, you can't look at it as just take from those guys. You also got to be able to give back and help them grow. So it's a good relationship.
A partnership, yeah.
Yeah. And if you focus in those areas, you know, when you're developing and growing this business, the transfer of business is not necessarily that hard. I think everybody knows and understands, at least they do in my businesses, is that you can focus on the entity and it's not really who owns that entity. We're all going to work there for a number of years, hopefully, and continue to develop that entity. And it doesn't, like I said, it's not really that important who owns it, because it's more of how you grow it and how you develop it that builds the wealth and the value of that entity. And everybody involved has a family or friends and things like that that you still got to work with. And the entity's there to help nourish people's personal lives in the long run. So if you focus on that, when you're looking for the opportunity, sometimes it comes along, it's a good opportunity, you take it. Sometimes it may be a necessity that you're wanting to sell that entity, but you always have got to think about it as what's the best thing for that entity and how are you developing it so that it's attractive, not necessarily just you or just an outside buyer, but it's attractive to the industry and the community you're involved with.
So who buys residential service businesses and what are they looking for? What makes it attractive to them?
Well, you know, there's several different views on that. Of course, there's the neighboring competitor that's interested, I think, always in growing their business. And sometimes, you know, again, if you've built your business and it's attractive, anybody would like to have it. So there's the competitor. There's the individual out there that's just looking to buy something to help his portfolio grow. That's kind of like the individual investor. Then there's really kind of the outside entities, the venture capitalists that are looking to develop a large portfolio by bringing your business into theirs and growing it and somehow or another reselling it eventually in the industry, maybe to a bigger industry, you know, just somebody that maybe in everything they do is like the home service industry. And it might not just be HVAC plumbing. It may be electrical. It may be, you know, sprinkler systems. It could be anything that they've kind of built as a way to grow and turn this over to even a larger corporation.
So do you feel that any one of those three is a better buyer? That is, that you're likely to get more value or the transaction is going to be easier with any one of those three?
It probably depends on the stage of your company. I was real fortunate in my last company that we were very attractive because of our middle management and our growth pattern. We were already gone in 3 years. We've gone from zero to almost $3 million a year in a very quick amount of time. So we had a nice infrastructure in our company with the right managers to grow and to develop. So we were attractive to what normally wouldn't have been even considered this small of a business. But I think your smaller businesses, when they're younger, under $5 million are probably either the competitor acquiring them or an individual that's trying to grow maybe several small businesses to sell to a larger business eventually is kind of attracted to a small company. However, once you get up past that five, up to 10 and above $1 million a year company, I think the venture capitalists are probably much more opportunistic because they actually have the cash to invest, and seldom do they want to buy the whole business. They want to keep you involved almost all the time because they feel if you step out, company takes a dip, and they don't want to have to worry about rebuilding that dip if you lose a lot of people or something like that if the owner walks away. So I think it depends on what size of business you're trying to market that you really look at who you're trying to sell to.
If you've built your company up and you're selling, let's say you're in that $5 to $10 million range that you just referenced, and you're selling to a private equity venture capitalist organization, and they want you to stay on to help run it. What does that look like? How do they keep you engaged and involved? And typically, how long do you think that ends up being for most people?
You know, I think it depends on a lot of things, but I think most people would like to keep the owners involved for 3 to 5 years afterwards, especially the venture capitalists, because they don't want to have to come down and change a lot of things and keep it growing. They want you to be vested in the company. So if the company does better, they give you a certain amount of stock that when that grows and multiplies, you'll do better off of it as the previous owner. They also probably give you better than your normal salary was when you were working there, just because they can free up a little bit more cash. They've got a lot of things going as far as they have that supplies you with a lot of things that makes your company more profitable. For instance, national buying power and things like that. So yeah, they bring a lot of things into the table that reduces the cost of doing business so they can put a little bit more money into the business and make it a much better structured company in the long run.
So you sold your first business in 1997. Mm-hmm. You sold your last business 23 years later. What has changed, if anything, in that period of time about buying and selling businesses?
Venture capitalists have definitely got smarter. So I think you could say that the first wave of consolidation was something where they had a lot of money. They just gone to the stock market and become a viable money that has a lot of cash available to them. So a lot of times they overpaid for those businesses. We, in my first business, we got better than 10 times multiples of our earnings on the purchase of our company. And a lot of it was stock. And if you didn't get out of it at the right time, you took the hit if it went down, but we were lucky enough to get out of it. So the things that have changed today is the market dipped pretty drastically in the mid 2000s, 2005, 2008 or 9. And the multiples of return on the profitability of the company probably dipped to about, you know, 2 to 3 times earnings in that time period. And luckily, when I started to sell mine in 2012, they'd gone back up to about 5+ times earnings. And today, they're fluctuating. If your company has got a very good track record of financials, you can back up everything you've done for at least 3 full years about profitability. And when they do their due diligence, they dig very deeply into your company. So they really do know what's going on. So again, developing these relationships with vendors and people like that, that help you run your business better and keep a better track record, the better you'll do when you're ready to sell your. Today, the multiples of earnings are kicking back up. In most cases, 3 to 5+, could be back up to almost 10 in some cases I've heard, but I haven't really seen the documentation on that, but people are saying that's going on out there right now. But the problem with any of that is the more the buyer trusts you, probably the higher your multiples of earnings are going to be. Because if they don't see good track record of every single dime you spend in your company, and you got to make sure you separate yourself personally from the business. Do that crossover and use it as a tax shield sometimes, your business, which a lot of people do just to reduce their taxes. That will reduce the trust, I think, that a buyer has in what you're doing. So it's very, very important that any time you buy something and it benefits you personally on your taxes, you better make sure that you've got very detailed documentation on why you did this and how you did it, because that's something that could really drive your earnings up or down depending on how it's put out there. So a good, for instance, if you own the building, you put a new roof on it and you had the company pay for it and you didn't justify that in your financials and put it as a, what we call a non-recurring expense, that's something that buyers may look as a dip in profit and not want to pay you multiples of profit. However, if you document it right, make sure that everything is very, very forward in what you do and it's substantiated financially, it's something that they'll include. And another thing, it could be like with inventory. I bought a large supply of R22 when the price was relatively cheap. I stored it in my warehouse, and because I documented it and made sure that they knew and understood what it was when I sold my company, I was able to get multiples of profit off of that investment that I made smartly at the right time. So documentation, non-reoccurring chargebacks are all very critical when you're looking at them evaluating how much they're going to give you for your company.
That's gold, Ben. You know, for somebody that's selling their business or thinking about selling it into the future, that one little piece of information there could make a huge difference in the sale price, couldn't it?
Could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Ben, this has been fantastic. Do you want to give any contact information if people wanted to contact you?
Sure. I'll even plug our book. It's Go Time is our new book that's coming out, and Go Time Success Group is our training entity. We are a preferred vendor, and you can contact me at ben@gotimesuccessgroup.com.
So ben@gotimesuccessgroup.com. And you've got a book coming out. I've seen pieces of this book. It's with you and Chris Hunter, right?
Yep, Chris Hunter. Yeah. And Dave Rothaker has kind of sewed it all together for us. A very, very good book. I think it's going to be a huge game changer in people trying to grow their business. And I think it'll be very valuable to most people.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's great. Well, Ben Stark, thank you so much for doing this. You are an icon of the industry, and I really appreciate you spending this time with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.